Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
What are we covering today?
We're covering listener questions.
Like a blanket over a sleeping you, with the softness and supple warmth of a comforting, sonically pleasing
yes.
fact.
Absolutely.
About your question, to answer it.
And this
and just change yourself.
Welcome to Stranger Still. It's a podcast where we answer the questions you never thought to ask. I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Began.
And I just wanted to get through that intro. I don't know if you can tell from my voice, but I have the gunk.
Yuck. What's the gunk?
It's whatever I have. My daughter had it. Apparently, the doctor said she had a little bit of bronchitis. I didn't know you could have just a little bit of bronchitis. I thought it was like a pass-fail type of situation.
It sounds like a bubonic plague-era mythical creature.
Yeah.
The bunk. The gunk.
The gunk. Coming to a theater near you. Mm-hmm. So, I'm really excited for today's episode because it's going to be chill. I don't have to try to convince you of something for 30 minutes. I just go through a bunch of listener questions.
This is wonderful, but you probably had to do more work than ever before.
I did. But it's great because our listeners voted on our Facebook page what they wanted to hear this week, and it looked like the quest for immortality was going to win, and then out of nowhere, everyone just wanted short listener questions.
Yep.
So this is like our listener question
from behind, taking the lead.
Yep, underdog is here. So I took everyone's questions, I did all the research, and then I printed them off and put it in our mystery box here.
Yeah.
So John, you're gonna choose our questions, and we're just gonna see how many we can get through in like a half an hour time span, and then whatever we don't get to, we'll talk about it next time our listeners vote for short listener question medleys.
And like thanks this. For giving us so many. You guys
rule. A bunch. Yeah, thanks for your participation. And the thing that sparked this episode is I wanted to cover solar, what do you call
them? GMEs?
Yeah, well, CMEs. I typed it wrong. CMEs. Coronal mass ejections, because people are like, oh, it's giving me headaches and fatigue, and that wasn't enough to, like, the science is really straightforward, so that couldn't cover a whole episode. But then at the same time, Tammy on our Facebook page posted wanting to know if human spontaneous combustion was a real thing, and I was like, that wouldn't cover a whole episode, but I want to answer it for you.
Yeah.
So I think going forward, if our listeners have any short questions like that, you can put it on our Facebook or email it to us or put it on our Twitter, and I'm just going to add them to this growing list of questions. And the next time we do this, like half a year from now or whatever, whenever people vote for it again,
yeah,
I'll pull all those questions out and we'll answer them.
It almost would work in a visual format, maybe.
Yeah.
Too, someday.
Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe a Stranger Minute, something like that.
Or if we, did a visual thing sometime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? So I don't know where this is going to go. I've just got Well, I know where it's going to go, but I don't know what questions you're going to pull out. So it might take me a moment to find my notes. But do you want to begin our bonanza?
So this is a Willow brand tissue box.
That's from Aldi.
It's the most sonically pleasing tissue box we could find. We tested plenty, I'm sure.
I wanted to find the most obnoxious thing to put them in, and I couldn't find
it. Coffee can full of pennies would have been better, but this will work.
Yeah. What do you got for us first? That's how you know it's shook up.
All right. Question number one. It's from Jason Lee.
Hey, Jason.
Why does ASMR work?
I love this question because it's not how does ASMR work, it's why does it work? It's a good question, and unfortunately, science doesn't really know. I guess we should define what ASMR is first. I don't think we've really talked about it on this show before.
ASMR.
It's kind of what you did in our intro.
Yeah, it's a comforting sound. It could be anything. It could be tapping of nails.
Uh-huh.
It could
just
be shuffling
someone whispering.
Papers, whispers. My voice all the time.
Yeah, it's just... smooth and crisp.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of ASMR videos, and they've really exploded, is because they give people like tingling sensations on the back of their necks and like down their spine and stuff. Makes them feel warm and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's become really big. And ASMR only really cropped up recently with the invention of the internet and specifically YouTube. But like now that it's a thing, people look back and they're like, oh, I totally had that sensation when I was watching Bob Ross on The Joy of Painting. But since it is new, there's not a lot of research on it, so we don't exactly know. I wish I had a better answer. Right now, the best guess that we have is that it could be that in some people it triggers a release of endorphins,
mm-hmm.
which are like the feel-good hormone, or it could be some new form of synesthesia that we've never encountered before.
Could I cut you up with Occam's razor real quick?
Yeah.
It's probably like when you're a little kid and your mom's like singing lullabies or your dad's singing lullabies.
Maybe.
Like when you're spoken soft to.
Yeah, but why do you have
something calming a significant other that speaks to you in a calm, soothing voice?
Yeah, but it doesn't happen to everyone. Like, well, I can watch those videos and it doesn't happen to me.
Oh, no. But I think you could watch an ASMR video and not get the tingles, right?
Yeah.
You could still just be comforted by it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting to look at it through the lens of a new form of synesthesia. So our listeners out there that don't know what synesthesia is, do you want to define that for us?
Synesthesia is when you get all goofed up in your in your senses.
Yeah. Well, you're like when you see for some people, when they see letters or numbers, they show up as colors,
mm-hmm.
like in any context. And
when I was a little kid, always confused. I always thought 7 was red.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I lived near 7-Eleven.
Oh.
And all the lotto tickets always have the red color for 7 as like a lucky number.
But with people with this sort of synesthesia, like when they see the letter 7 in any context, it always shows up as a certain color for them.
Yeah.
Because their brain just gets all goofed up, or it could be a letter. In some people, there's like mirror neuron synesthesia where they feel the sensations of other people. So like if they're watching someone's hand get touched, they feel that on their hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's like incredibly rare and incredibly weird. So I could totally see this being some sort of, since there's always some sort of psychological thing mixed with physiological responses, I could totally see it being some sort of synesthesia.
Yeah, I could see that too.
That's all I got on ASMR. I wish I had more for you, but I don't. So next question, John.
Okay.
What do you got?
I got from Sadie.
Yeah?
What is the likelihood of there being a nuclear holocaust?
You know, currently, I don't know if everyone knows what the doomsday clock is. I just kind of assume people do. I only know of it because I read Watchmen. Do you know what the doomsday clock is?
It's a idea that world situations are going to lead to the apocalypse,
nuclear
destruction of everything, and it's a calculation as to how close we are to that.
Yeah, and it's done by smart people, but it's mostly just like...
It's artistic.
Yeah, they take certain liberties. They're like, people don't communicate well, so eventually they're going to throw bombs at each other.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily how it's going to work.
Yeah, we might shoot them instead, or there's plenty of other ways to kill each other. Yeah.
Or assassin will get them or something. I don't know, but it's the best tool that I have to answer Sadie's question. Right now, as of 2018, the doomsday clock is 2 minutes away from midnight, which is way too close.
Yeah.
That means we're just like one small step from...
For man.
Total... Yes.
Destruction.
Total destruction. And honestly, I kind of feel like we're getting farther away from it, and maybe I just haven't watched the news lately, but like Kim Jong-un is doing all this outreach to South Korea and Donald J. Trump. Russia hasn't really flexed their muscles a whole lot lately. Like, they're always kind of this wild card, but they aren't doing like missile tests like North Korea was.
I think everyone's sick of everything.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, can we just like chill
For a second, please. The doomsday clock people basically said that the reason it's 2 minutes to midnight is that leaders are not communicating effectively, and they even say social media is dividing people and making people crazy, which is why we got this close in the first place.
Yeah, sure.
So if we don't start to unify and get rid of Facebook and go back to MySpace, we could totally get to nuclear holocaust.
Right. And I read a study that if you share podcasts like Stranger Still with your friends, verbally, mentally, physically, spiritually, it can help debunk craziness, and it promotes facts and science.
Yeah, it brings unity to the world. You're welcome, world. Next question.
Next question.
What do you got, buddy?
All right. This is a good one.
This is a short one.
This is a quadruple folded.
They all are.
Tammy, is spontaneous combustion in a person a real thing?
You know, I'm really disappointed in myself because back when I was in school, we were told that spontaneous human combustion was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe this so much that I replied to Tammy and said, yeah, it is. Let me get you some facts. And then I did research and turns out there's a scientific explanation for every documented case of spontaneous human combustion.
Wow.
I guess the myth of... Don't eat candles. All right, next question. Back in the day, we didn't have this thing called science.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been people pronounced dead from human spontaneous combustion because there's no other explanation for their death.
Yeah.
Like, they would just wake up. Well, they wouldn't wake up. Someone would wake up and see this pile of ash on the floor.
Yeah.
And nothing around them would be burned. There might be a little bit of singe marks on, like, the chair they were sitting in or something, or around the floor that they were standing on.
Just a pair of smoking shoes.
Right. Like, yes, actually.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Wonderful, though.
And so no one could find an explanation for this for a long time. And a lot of these cases had to do with alcohol. So some people were like, well, maybe they drank too much and that made them more flammable.
Yeah.
Turns out once alcohol is consumed, it does not make you more flammable.
What?
I found out from Encyclopedia Britannica.
Wow.
But the thing that we've come up with today, there's some forensic scientists that have come up with the wick effect, which is where there's something
where someone hurts your dog and you go after revenge for the entire family.
I should have seen that coming and I totally didn't. But that's where there's something on the person that catches flame and then it starts burning the person. Mm-hmm. And then all the fats inside of that person melt.
Oh, gross.
And become like a candle, like paraffin in a candle.
Yeah.
And
you're a skeleton wick.
You're a skeleton wick. And you just keep burning that fat until it's all ash. And they've tested this time and time again, and it does create those strange side effects.
I wish they didn't test this time and time again.
Well, I'm sure they just used like Crisco or something, not like real humans.
Okay.
But they would find these weird things where like the surroundings would just be singed. They wouldn't be burnt like the person was. So when we look back in history, we can usually say, yeah, that was like their pocket was hanging out and it caught on fire, and then their whole clothes caught on fire, and then
and it was just the 1600s and they wore 30 layers of clothes.
That's also true. Like, they're wearing wool and...
Oh no, I forgot to undo my elbow buckles.
Yeah.
This is going to take forever.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty interesting at the end of the encyclopedia article, it said that alcohol doesn't make you more flammable, but it does make you make worse decisions that might lead to you catching on fire.
Yeah.
So,
it makes you more likely
true.
To be flammable.
Yeah. I mean, also, if you spill it on yourself, like, the vapors might make you more flammable, so there's a certain little bit to that, but that's pretty... Like, it's kind of gross, but people just become candles.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's almost the plot of The Matrix, I think.
I think I haven't seen it in a while.
Hey, next question.
How come sword swallowers don't light a flame when they drink their alcohol? That proves your theory. There you go.
Exactly.
Okay, because they're spitting out, though. That's why.
But it's also the vapor that catches fire.
Yeah.
So.
And most sword swallowers are a straight edge. They do spit it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
What? Is this from me?
How do you know?
Because you looked at
because
me
because
you're like,
wow. New psychic abilities from last year.
I knew that was a short question. All I said was, I want to cover CMEs.
Okay, I don't want to read up to you.
So you might, if you're on Facebook at all, toxic environment that it is, you may have seen this article going around saying that recent geometric storms on the sun, also known as coronal mass ejections, might be causing fatigue, anxiety spikes, insomnia, lethargy, headaches.
Can I explain this for the common folk?
Yeah.
The sun goes, pew, 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 pew.
Yeah. And all that radiation, supposedly, according to this article, the radiation and magnetism enter our atmosphere and affects our bodies. I think it's interesting, if you click on that article, it'll take you to a page that says the reason you're having all these side effects is because the radiation and magnetism are pulling your spirit away from you and toward another dimension.
They say your aura, specifically.
Yeah. So that's not true. We can just say that. The radiation and all that doesn't get through the atmosphere, first of all. If it did, we'd all just... Like, radiation just kills you.
Yeah.
That's if we were pelted with the sun's radiation, we would be dead. So thank goodness for the atmosphere.
I mean, it tries its best, right?
Yeah.
It's in the pocket of big sunscreen, though, so.
I know. Banana boat. More like banana Give me some
go
money.
Me, right? Is that
what greatest of all time? I don't know. But the weird thing is that hospital and ER visits do spike during CMEs. So that's kind of weird.
Okay.
Researchers best guess at this point. There's some researchers in Russia. They think, well, they all agree that there's some sort of low frequency that's making its way into through our atmosphere from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And over in Russia, they think that it might mess up with our heart or our tiny little capillary veins. And I mean, that can cause heart problems, obviously, more heart attacks and all that. Other people in the United States think that it could be messing up your circadian rhythm.
Yeah.
Which when your body's in a cycle, so when it's like, hey, it's sleep time, it releases all these chemicals to make you sleepy.
And you go underground for 7 years like a cicada.
Yeah. Next question.
Okay. Oh, and real quick.
Yeah.
I just want to state in that article that we read, they were so sneaky with their facts. They're like, the sun is a star. The sun has this many cubic meters of fire. Uh-huh. And like they would say like real thing. Also, we have an aura and it just happens to
go out of
your... Like they just snuck that in there real quick.
Yeah. I first encountered this not on Facebook, but when I went into work and I think I've talked about this coworker before that they always come to me with like the craziest things.
Ideas for episodes.
Basically, they're like, oh, I'm really tired. Do you think it's the sunspot? And I was like,
well,
no, but I'll find out the science for you just in case.
I'm going to give them a plausible pass on this because the sun can affect you.
Right, it does. Like, but science says that there is something that is affecting us.
You go lay out in the sun and tan all day, you get sleepy.
Yeah.
But no science to this as much as we know.
But I found that article and it's really funny because there's big paragraphs and then bullet points of the side effects. And my eye just goes straight to the bullet points and I'm like, oh, look at all these facts and all these side effects. And then you read the article and it's just total BS.
May cause spooks. It'll haunt you.
It'll haunt you. Right. What you got?
Ooh, this one's from... Mary.
Mary from TYT.
Yes.
Friend of the show, Mary.
Director of Jacorian Arthur.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
Bacterial and viral diseases, differences and remedies.
Yeah. I it's not really a question, but
well,
I'll take it.
Hold on. That's on me.
Oh.
The way that I worded it on my own Facebook page was what's something you wish more people knew about.
You idiot. So bacteria is a single-celled organism that can live on its own and do harm just like as its day job and then it goes home to its wife and kids.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas viruses have to live inside of something else. They have to have a host cell to live within. Bacteria can grow just about anywhere, whereas mm-hmm. viruses grow inside of your cells.
Did they ever think about doing a collaboration?
Hey,
virus.
It's called a staph infection.
Ooh, gross, dude. Let me hang out in your bacteria.
Yeah, but like bacteria, they just find a place to grow and they start multiplying there, whereas viruses go into your cell, they change your cell to replicate the virus, and then once the cell is full, it explodes and all the viruses escape. Escape?
Yeah.
So that's how viruses work and how those are replicated. Viruses, they're the worst ones. Objectively, maybe not. In my opinion, they are the worst ones.
Yeah.
Because they can only be prevented with vaccines, whereas bacteria can be killed with most antibiotics, like just generic antibiotics. We talked about this a little bit more on our Can We Cure the Common Cold episode like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
That when we make vaccines, we have to guess at what strain is going to be the most popular, take that strain, empty it out, duplicate it, put it inside a person, and then your body will make antibodies. So when the harmful virus comes, your body can fight it off.
Yeah.
But viruses mutate because like their generations are so quick, evolution just mutates so quickly that we might not catch the virus.
Right.
We might have not made the right strain in this vaccine, whereas you can just like go get some penicillin and hey, I don't have this bacteria anymore. Viruses, just to put this in context, are things like the common cold, the flu, pink eye, stuff like that. Bacterias are just as dangerous. I don't want to say that like viruses are worse because bacterias are dangerous. They're just easier to cure. There are things like E. coli, strep throat, salmonella, that sort of thing. Like it grows in your food like E. coli does. We'll get to this probably if we get to the other question. It's kind of fascinating. Like they just basically break down the membrane of the bacteria and the bacteria just like dies because you poked holes in its membranes. It's
aww,
pretty cool.
That's sad.
Yeah. Feel bad for them, don't you?
Don't they make little antimicrobial desks?
They make antimicrobial lots of things.
Without chemicals, you just get, they're just spikes basically. And when the bacteria falls on it, it pops.
Mm-hmm.
That's the coolest.
Yeah.
It probably looks like a Mortal Kombat fatality.
All right. That'll make a great game. You got another question for me?
I do.
pull that puppy out.
Who's this? This is from Deborah. Do my dogs think I'm dumb?
You know, what do you think, John? I want to get your opinion on this.
I haven't met her dogs. It's hard to come to a scientific conclusion.
Do you think that your dogs think you are dumb?
They think I give them food.
Yeah.
I'm an association. I might as well be walking Scoop, you know?
Yeah, you're just a tool for them to survive. You know what, Deborah? There is evidence out there to suggest it. There's one sort of misleading article, but it had some good facts in there. There was a test done basically to see if dogs remembered things that they were shown when they weren't expecting some sort of reward. So, I guess I'm trying to think of, I couldn't come up with a good way to describe this. The best thing I came up with, it's like
a really analytical scientist going to an art museum, like, what's the point?
No, like
why would I do this? Why would I sit without a treat?
It's like learning versus remembering. So you learn, the dogs learn based off reward, but do they remember things? Like, the other day John walked through the hallway, do they remember that? Well, so I wrote down this example, maybe it's not the best thing. It's like if you were telling someone in 3 days, if you can tell me what you ate for breakfast, I'm going to give you $10.
Okay.
Versus, like, I'm like, hey, if you can tell me what you had for breakfast 3 days ago, I'll give you $10. So you might be able to go back 3 days ago and remember.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the test that they ran on these dogs. Like, do they just passively remember things?
Okay.
Maybe I should have just said that from the start. Do they passively remember things?
We talked about this in our dog episode.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about animal memories.
Yeah.
I guess I could have said that too. Well, it turns out that dogs do passively pick up memories. They have an episodic memory. So they can recall things that you've done, whether it was important to them or not.
Yeah.
So I guess the message there is, if you did something stupid, there's a possibility that they do remember it. The article at the very end, this is the more interesting part, says that the same researchers that did that test are now going on to study whether dogs can understand the goals in others. So if they can understand the goals in other dogs, other animals, or humans.
Right.
And I think that's the more interesting thing, because to me, that's like, if our dogs know what we're trying to accomplish and then watch us fail spectacularly and they do remember that, then they might finally one day realize how stupid you are.
Yeah. Thank goodness we dumbed them down. That's why whenever I tell Wally that my Wi-Fi password is John Buff Daddy Combs, I give him a treat so he associates it and remembers it.
Yeah,
for me.
But Deborah, I don't think you're dumb. You asked a really good question.
Yeah.
So let's go on to the next one.
We got to a sound moral ending.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
What do you got?
Jason Lee.
Again.
Does silver have antibacterial properties, or is that marketing bull?
I told him, he's like, you know exactly how to get me to love your question, because is it marketing bull? I'll let you know. This is what I was talking about before, when like something just pokes holes in bacterial cell membranes, and then the thing just seeps out and dies.
Yeah.
You might be surprised to learn that silver actually is antimicrobial.
That's awesome.
It is really cool. So bacteria can't grow on it. That's like the definition of antimicrobial. And then if bacteria does find its way into silver, the ions in the silver atoms break up the membrane of the bacterial cell wall, and then it dies.
So it's just the cell structure of silver is pointy.
Well, the atomic structure has ions that just like float around and kill bacteria.
That's right.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pretty fast one for you. But yeah. So I think he also commented later and said they make like wound dressing laced with like interwoven with silver, and it works,
and
it totally works.
Silver spoons.
Yeah, you don't have E. coli on those things.
Yep, so you can't eat yogurt. All right.
Yeah, there is good bacteria out there that you don't want to die. But what do you got?
I got another Jason Lee.
Yeah.
What is MSG? Monosodium glutamate.
Glutamate. Don't say it like a weirdo.
Monosodium glutamate. Why do we add it to food, and is it bad for us?
This is it's another fast one. So
it's salt.
It's basically salt.
Yeah.
It's a sodium salt that's made from amino acid, whereas like normal salt is like calcium and sodium. But it occurs naturally in stuff like beans or tomatoes, and it's in a lot of like Asian foods.
Yeah, soy
sushi
sauce.
Soy sauce, and that's because it was originally found in seaweed. Like when people were adding MSGs to things on purpose, they would get it from seaweed. Now we get it from like beans and stuff. By itself, it's different from table salt because it is flavorless, but once you add it to foods, it makes them taste better, which is weird. Like, how can something with no taste make make something taste better. Well, it tricks your tongue into sensing more umami or savory flavors than is actually present. So you put it on my cashew chicken, and the chicken is already savory. It's got umami flavor in it, but the MSG makes my tongue think, wow, this is super savory, as opposed to just regular savory.
It's flavory savory.
It's flavory savory. So most people add MSGs to like subpar meat so that they taste better, and then it's cheaper that way. and the jury's kind of out on whether it's bad for us. I'm pretty sure it's bad for us, but I came across a lot of people that were like,
it only as bad as salt is.
Well, I was going the other direction where they're like, it's the cause of all evil, like Monsanto level of.
Well, I heard also myths that it causes headaches, and I wonder if that's like started by American companies that use salt instead of MSG and want to get better business.
So I've never had a headache with MSGs, but if it's messing with your tongue, maybe, I don't know. So I'm just going to say the jury's out on that. We're still doing studies on it. But what else you got in that box of yours? We got time for a few more questions.
All right. This is from Amanda.
Yeah?
And she says, why do countries drive on different sides of the road?
I love this question. Do you want to take a guess as to why? Because I would love to hear your take on it.
Because it's the side that the steering wheel's on. Duh.
No. First of all, I thought this was interesting. I worked basically from one article on this. Let me see if I can find the source here. I don't remember what website it was. It'll be on our website. But it said that 35% of the world drives on the left side of the road, which I thought it would be way more than that, because usually the Americans are doing the dumb thing, and it's like 1% of the world is doing what America does.
Yeah, inches.
Yeah, the imperial system. But there are a lot of reasons why this started. First, the article said, this is a direct quote from them, in the past, almost everyone traveled on the left side of the road because that was the most sensible option for feudal, violent societies. And at first I was like, whoa, are you throwing shade at the UK for just being like these dark, violent societies?
Jeez.
But they go on and explain that this is a direct quote from them. It says, since most people are right-handed, swordsmen preferred to keep the reins in their left hand in order to have the right arm near to the opponent and their scabbard further from him, so they could stick their sword out and attack whoever on their horse.
Moreover, their scabbard?
Yeah, this is a sword.
They missed the opportunity. It should have been called stabbard.
Well, go back in time. Get in the time machine we have in the closet.
It's the first thing I'd change.
Moreover, it reduced the chances of the scabbard worn on the left hitting other people. So you have more control with your left hand, or your right hand. It also explains that when horse-drawn carriages came around, most people would use their right hand to whip the horses because they're right-handed, or hold the reins.
Mm-hmm.
So the driver's seat would be on the left side of the horse, just right. A little bit to the left. And according to this article, the reason we started driving on the right is
because when we roll down our window, it's easier to throw your left hand at the window and flip people off,
right,
while driving with the right hand.
Yes. No. Apparently, back when we wanted our independence in the 1770s, we wanted to separate ourselves from the Brits in any way we could. And since they were they're driving their horse-drawn carriages on the left side of the road, we're like, no, we're gonna do it on the right.
Wow.
Other countries started to learn that it made more sense for like traffic signs and passing cars more safely and turning, so they started to adopt driving on the right as well,
based on handedness.
Yeah,
that's pretty neat.
So that's all I got for that. What do you got over there?
All right, I've got another one from Ryan.
Yep.
It says, ketchup isn't a vegetable.
That's not a question.
All right.
No. Since you worded your thing dumb, I do have an answer for this.
What?
What do you mean, what?
Go on.
Of course I have an answer for this once I find it in my notes here. It's on this very first page here. So this...
I didn't word my thing wrong. I just cut to the chase. Yeah. I wanted answers instead of questions.
Yeah. You wanted them to do my research for me. So this, strangely enough, comes from the Oxford Dictionary. It says, this is a direct quote, scientifically speaking, a tomato is definitely a fruit. The true fruits are developed from the ovary in the base of the flower and contain the seeds of the plant, though cultivated forms may be seedless. So if something has seeds in it and it comes from the ovary of a flower, it is a fruit, like a tomato. Blueberries, raspberries, and oranges are true fruits, and so are many kinds of nuts. So that's kind of weird. So what do you get? I guess my question is, since tomato is a fruit, what do you get when you mash up a bunch of fruit?
Fruit mash.
Jam. You ding dong. So what do you get when
we call them preserves?
Sorry. You get preserves. So what happens when you add vinegar to preserves?
Like, what's...
Nothing. You get nothing. It's just a condiment.
Oh.
Just...
I usually call it jelly. It's like a... All right. This one is from your mom.
Yeah. I wanted to answer this one. Yeah, she wanted to know who came up with the Easter Bunny. This one's kind of wild, dude. This is another one of those celebrations that primarily Christian holiday in today's world came from pagan rituals.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the Christmas traditions came from pagan rituals. But back in the day, there was a celebration of the goddess Eostre, maybe? E-O-S-T-R-E. Her animal symbol was
part
a bunny.
Guy named Ian, part ostrich.
Yes, absolutely. Her animal symbol was a bunny, and Ostre herself symbolized fertility. So people have been decorating eggs for a long time, and back in the 1300s is when this was popular. It provided a symbol of new beginnings, just the eggs themselves. So somewhere along the way, don't know exactly where, the two got mixed together, but it wasn't until German immigrants came over to America, and they had this mythical egg-laying bunny called the Osterhaus that kids would make baskets and nests for, and that really took off in America, and that's where we get the Easter Bunny from.
The Osterhaus.
Osterhaus.
Mm.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird thing that they would just like come up with this animal, but there you go.
Well,
you
want
to do one
things.
More?
Yeah.
There's three left. We have time for one more.
Okay. Here we go.
I don't have any questions this
actually,
is.
Actually, yeah, there's quite a bit left. Thank you.
Yeah.
If you want to do this next time, it's on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
This is a long one, bud.
Oh, I think I probably have an easy answer for it then.
Megan says, don't know if this fits your purview, but MC is short for Master of Ceremonies.
Uh-huh.
MC, E-M-C-E-E, is a word that means the same thing. So which came first? And are there other examples of spelled out versions of letters in the English language? Is there a term for that phenomena?
Yeah, I can answer this one pretty quickly, so maybe we do have time for another one. This totally fits our purview. Kidding me? We love talking about language. I couldn't find a name for such a phenomenon, but it does spread to, like, the dictionary does recognize spelled out versions of DJ, TV, okay, those sorts of things. Some are more popular than others. Like, I've never in my real life seen TV spelled out, but
yeah.
It is recognized in the dictionary.
Is that four E's?
Yeah, T-E-E-V-E-E.
Weird.
But to answer the direct question, MC has been used since around the 1800s, so it's been around for a really long time. The first appearance of E-M-C-E-E wasn't until the 1930s.
All right.
So there you go. That's
so they're
the
trying to be
your question.
A real fancy pants over there.
Do you want to try to do one more?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
This one's nice and thick. This one's from Alina.
Yeah.
She says, why are Canadians better? Well, that's very political.
Yeah.
And we don't get political. It's because you have health care. It's because you're Prime Minister? Prime Minister marches with LGBT people. He was a cool boxer. He's very handsome. Everyone's very,
very progressive
nice.
Up there, yeah.
Very, very strong maple economy. She also says, just kidding. And she says, I'm not sure if this is considered a short listener question, but are there any words you pronounce differently because of where you're from? For example, I'm from Vancouver, Canada. And apparently, I say Vancouver and mountain weird, according to Canadians from other provinces. I say it appropriately.
I mostly just included this because we have another episode out there where we talk about where accents come from. So I just wanted to
in one of the
fast.
Earliest days.
I think it was the first episode
that we ever did.
Yeah, it's one of our most, maybe not, but it's one of our most listened to episodes. And I don't know if that's because it's so early on or so
people like to start from the beginning and go, what is this garbage?
Yeah. To be fair, I think that episode was really entertaining because I got like legit. Legitimately mad at you
in
the middle of it.
Yeah. What did I do?
You were doing the Midwest Farmer Man and you're making fun of the way that I say like Harry.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Harry.
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry.
So what are some words that you say weird?
When I first moved here, I say my O's as A's.
Yeah.
So I said Florida, orange, forehead.
Farhead.
And like for draw, like I'd open the draw.
Yeah.
But now I know it's
a drawer.
Drawer.
You don't have to say it all weird.
Well,
I don't say any words weird.
I don't know. That's why everybody's modeled after the Midwest, right?
Yeah.
All the news anchors.
Everyone likes it. It just feels right on the mooth.
Squeaky clean. Drawer.
Drawer.
Well, let's close this
I
drawer.
I say syrup.
You say syrup?
Yeah. Instead of syrup.
I'm sure there's things that we haven't said out loud that we...
Yeah.
Water?
Water.
Oh, I got one. What do you call scary movies?
Horror movies?
Yeah, I call
Horror.
Them. Horror.
Horror.
I can't say horror.
Horror.
It's too hard.
It's
too hard.
Hard. Yeah.
All right.
Should we take a quick break and then we'll come back and just talk about ourselves for a little bit?
Yeah.
Let's do that. John,
where can people find us, Nick?
Oh, you beat me to it. You always do this. You never let me have
just
fun.
Tell them.
You can find us at facebook.com/group/strangerstill. You can find us at strangerstillshow.com. You can find us on Instagram now.
Wow.
We got stuff on there.
What's that address?
I don't know.
Stranger Still Show.
There you go. We're also on Twitter, but no one ever goes on Twitter. It's a horrible place.
Yeah.
I do want to really quickly say we don't have, like, this whole episode was fan questions. Normally we would answer fan questions right here, which we haven't done in a while, but we just were on Cybertronological.
Yeah.
So I want to plug that because we had an awesome time on that show. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast where they go from beginning to end watching every single episode of the Transformers cartoon and reviewing the episode one at a time. And I think we were a little unexpected on that show because we kind of just derailed the entire thing for like an hour.
Yeah.
And but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And like this was, I think, both of our first exposures to the cartoon. But it's still a great podcast. And even if you don't like the cartoon, you should go listen to it. Because
we're on it.
Because, well, we're on it. We had a great time. But even in the other episodes, the two co-hosts are
charming.
They're charming guys. They're
entertaining. Lovely
so
person.
Go check that out. I think you'll like it. What else do we have to talk about before we close things up? Anything at all? You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/strangerstill. And you can review us on iTunes if you're so kind. We've got a few new reviews, but no words to say. People are leaving stars, which is fine, but I want to be able to say your words on the air.
Yeah, I'm glad we made it to Tibet.
What's Tibet?
The silent monks leaving us those stars.
Oh, we're popular over in Tibet?
Yeah.
All right. Good for us, I guess.
I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Stranger Still.